Welcome to another podcast edition for the Australian College of Professionals, the leading training provider in property, finance and business.
This podcast, Why Should Property Agents Formalise How They Communicate With Their Clients, was produced by the Australian College of Professionals on Wednesday, 9th of August, 2023.
In New South Wales and in other states, there are requirements for agents to have policies and procedures. And in New South Wales, we have the supervision guidelines, or standards as we like to refer to them. And this, there is a section in there, which is section 5, or requirement 5 in the supervision guidelines, around communication channels. That it's important to remind that agents that are working in sales and leasing in particular are to ensure that all communication that's under an agency agreement is with the owner of the property or the person with the legal right to act on that owner's behalf. So particularly if, you know, there's lots of scenarios here where things could go seriously wrong. So, you know, and the more we hear stories about this, the more we think if we can fix this up and tighten it right at the beginning of your relationship with a client, much, much better option here. So, you know, if an owner is contacting an agent to do something with the property, and that might be changing their bank account details or changing their email address or changing their mobile number, and, you know, we need to double check that we are actually dealing with the owner. And if we create a communication channel right at the point of listing, so when we're actually listing a property, whether for management or for sale, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what type of property that you're listing, whether it's commercial, industrial, retail, residential, rural, whether it's a business, you know, you need to establish who it is that you have the communication channel with. Now, there might be one name, two names, three names, six names on title. Therefore, that many people have signed your agency agreement. So you need to know which one of those one, two, five, six people that you are dealing with. You may well be dealing with all of them. In the case of a deceased estate, all parties might like to be informed of what's going on, be it leasing or a sale. So what the supervision guidelines say, that ongoing dealings with parties to an agency agreement actually need to be that the principal licensee in charge must prepare and maintain written procedures that ensure all communication during the provision of services under an agency agreement is with the owner of the property or the person with the legal right to act on the owner's behalf, which is what we said before. So that means that, you know, you have the contact, the specific contact details. You on your agency agreement, identify, and some agency agreements are now including a section where you can nominate who the contact person is. And if it's all of them, you write all, you know, all owners, all principals. Remember, the word principal is the legal term for the owner of the property. So that is, you may be dealing with all of them. You may just be dealing with one person. And that's at the point of all parties signing the agent's agreement, you're actually getting their agreement that you are only dealing with one identified person or whatever it is they like, that you have that person's contact details correct, that you have their preferred email address, that you have their preferred mobile number, that you have the preferred way they want to be contacted, whether it's some people want a phone call and a backup email, some people just want a text, some people want to be part of a WhatsApp group that many agencies are using now. So however it is that you're creating that, make sure that you have that in writing on your agency agreement, which identifies that if somebody comes back in and once you do something to the property, and I mean, particularly with cyber scams, you know, you really seriously need to know who it is that you're dealing with. So you're picking up the phone and talking to somebody if you've received an email that says, change my bank account details. So all of those things, this is about protecting both your client, but if you do it for the point of protecting your own business, then it's a, you know, you'll actually always remember to do it. In terms of, no, we got this direction from our client. This is how they wanted to be contacted in any situation, and this is what we've done. So you've followed that process, and obviously that needs to be your written process. Whatever it is, how you choose to proceed with this, that's your written process in your supervision guidelines manual. So just make sure that they match, that what you do in practice is actually what you say you will do in your policy and procedures manual, and that it fits for what your particular agency is doing. So guys, make sure you have your communication channel sorted for every client that you're dealing with, and make it part of your listing process. if it's not particularly for property management, as you, you know, have something, as you touch the property management file for a specific property, next time you do that, then seek instructions about what is the best communication channel for that landlord at that point in time. So basically tidy up your communication channel processes as an ongoing basis. Every time you are doing something for that file, you have it open, make that a process, part of the request that you're asking of your property owners. So that's a really important one to remember.
Thank you for listening to another edition of the Australian College of Professionals podcast. For more information, go to our website, acop.edu.au.